like every great beer, is an even better story. Welcome to the Beer Healer Interviews. Mention the name Tim Fischwick around the craft beer industry, and I reckon you'll get a nod from the person you're speaking with. Why? Well, by all accounts, he's a good bloke. And let's be honest, he's also been around the traps a bit. In a good way, though. Tim's career has seen him go from flogging pallets of 4X Gold, Tui's New and Ted, to being involved in a number of small craft breweries. He's been a creature and a member of the all-conquering team at Bolta. But for some reason, earlier this year, he decided to walk away from hanging out with the lads on the Gold Coast and do his own thing. There's been a few whispers about what he's been up to in recent months, and we had to put this podcast off to make sure everything was all progressing and he could actually speak about it. So, in a world exclusive, here to spill the beans about his new venture, welcome to the Beer Healer Interviews, Tim Fischwick.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Welcome aboard, mate.
Yeah, exciting.
Good to have you. Good to have you here.
First time speaker, big fan, mate, you know?
Cheers, mate. I hate to do this, but once again, we must bend the knee and thank the people's champion of the craft beer sales force, Dave Myers, for making this chat possible.
Oh, sugar. I thought we were going to keep him out of it.
No. Have you got a good Dave Myers story before we start?
Oh, how many Dave Myers stories? I can go positive and negative, Chris, but I suppose the whole captive world that is my career is people like Dave Myers. I got him his first sales rep job in beer and, you know, I was lucky enough to MC his wedding and I've dragged him to a couple of breweries along the way. And I think that's what I love about this industry, mate, is there's a few out there that I've, especially through Creatures and then Bolter, it's been amazing. So
he's like a loyal Labrador, isn't he?
Oh, mate, the most loyal Labrador. So and a beautiful man. As I said, him and Stace and his little family is built down in Melbourne and obviously he started with me up in Queensland. So, but yeah. Because I love him so much, I'm not going to go with the dirt. Everyone else has got the dirt. So.
Fair enough. Now, mate, we'll get back to you because this is not the Dave Myers podcast. I'm not going to call you a bit of a promiscuous craft beer employee, but you've been around the traps, haven't you?
I have, and it's quite funny. Even, again, a couple of my other reps that went to Creatures end up in three or four different breweries, Chris, but it's a now I was trying to work out. I'm a very old 46, and I started at 19 in Tui's. So,
oh, wow. Know,
four breweries in 7 years? Promiscuous maybe, but I'm pretty loyal. So
yeah. Maybe you're finding yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I actually walked away and then came back into beer. So
love someone, set them free, and if they come back to you, it's meant to be or some shit like that, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it comes down to I sold beer for a living and then I rediscovered beer and fell in love with beer again, which was Little Creatures. So
As you should.
Yeah, but I was a kid. So
yeah, so you started, as you said, early on as a sales rep for Lion in Sydney, and in those days you wouldn't have had too much to do, would you? I mean, a combination of Tui's New, Ted and Harm Premium was being poured down the throat of, I don't know, maybe 90% of the New South Wales drinking public back then. And your role just would have been to send out pallets of the stuff to beer customers, wouldn't it?
Well, it starts even earlier. I literally started out of high school the February or March after that. And, my first role was a records clerk, which doesn't exist anymore, pre-email. And I used to work in the mailroom. And on Monday and Tuesday, you open around 600 checks because no one could pay by EFT back then.
Yeah.
And then I used to walk around the brewery twice or three times a day and pick up the internal mail because there was no email. So I am that old, Chris. And that is where I started in Tui's. And then was doing marketing at TAFE at night time because I was never going to be a uni student. And got my way through customer service and then ended up being out on the road. And I actually didn't genuinely love being a salesman to start off with in Tui's and kind of did some suburbs of Sydney and stuff, but ended up getting a good manager and loving it. So I was lucky enough to do things in line like merchandise for a couple of years, which back in the day when Tui's was at its best especially in the 90s when I was there, we sponsored everything from the State of Origin Rugby League, the pre-season Rugby League Cup to a thing called Channel 9 Wild Winter Weekend before Fox Sports. And I was the guy that used to drive down to the snowfields and I grew up in Perth, so I'd never spend any time in the snow. And I remember standing in 5 degrees with massive big black rubber tubes and spraying Han ice on the side of them for the sponsorship kind of thing and stuff.
With a trailer load full of bunting in the back, yeah?
Yeah. And couldn't be prouder at whatever it was. 21 years old driving around a high ace van. Oh, it was just the life, my friend.
Living the life. So from one early employee mail room to another, represent, mate. Well done.
Yeah, exactly. They paid me for that. I was in a union. It was awesome. Yeah.
Excellent stuff. So when did you exactly see the life, and thought to yourself, oh, I reckon this craft beer thing might have legs? Or it might have actually, you were there that long ago. Maybe it was called boutique or premium back then.
Yeah, so I think it was a call out of the blue. There was a bit of craft happening around me in Sydney, and I'd left. I transferred over to Perth to Swan Brewery in 2001 after 2000 Olympics. I was part of a team in the CBD of Sydney for Lion, actually, which is a lot of fun because we weren't the sponsor. got over to Swan for a couple of years and just didn't love it. So I ended up getting a job with Fox Sports, and I've lived the Australian dream. I've sold beer and sport in my life. So I actually ended up being transferred back to Sydney to be the commercial sales manager for New South Wales for that.
Yep.
And that was going all right, but wasn't a massive fan of the boss I had. It was a bit of fun, and I learned the word commission, which you do not have in beer world. And then one day I got a phone call from a guy named Richard Sweet, who actually runs the sales team at Four Pines these days.
Yep.
And he just had heard my name through the trade. And, I ended up having a couple of interviews with him, and then an interview with Howard Cairns. I remember at the Marble Bar at the Hilton.
Nice.
And they were just at a stage where they were getting bigger. They had a few reps running around the East Coast, but no management over on the East Coast. And they asked if I'd be East Coast sales manager. Well, actually, at the time, it was New South Wales, Queensland. So my attraction to that was actually I knew that Little Creatures was a brand because I used to go back for a lot of family stuff back in Perth and Fremantle kind of existed and stuff, but I wasn't a beer nut, Chris. I'll be honest with you, I'm not a Dave Myers beer nut. I'm very much a lover of the industry and a lover of people, but I'm not smart enough. I stand around Scotty Hargrave and I'm in awe of the science of what they learn out of beer. So I got into Creatures and that's where I fell back in love, and I got this job. I flew over there. They told me I hadn't found someone in Victoria, so I basically took over the whole of East Coast for Little Creatures running their sales team, and it was quite amazing. It was a small company. I saw it as an advantage because I lived in Perth and my parents had moved back to Perth, and I thought this would be a great gig to float between the two states and stuff, and had a young couple of kids at the time, and I didn't realise what I was about to go through for the next 5 years, which is something that any ex-creature will tell you is amazing. That tribe was the amazing tribe.
I hear a lot about that. Like when you were joining, you weren't quite at the height of your popularity. That probably came sort of halfway through. And prior to this purchase by Lion, obviously, and I only ever worked with Creatures lot, the guys, once it was inside that big machine of Lion. And so many of them speak of the pre-Lion days as being, life-changing and just amazing, and you're never going to see better and all this sort of stuff. Is that kind of how you saw it as well?
Yeah, and it was. I mean, I flew into quite an unorganized, you fly into Fremantle and it's that brand was real. They're not hippies, but they're pretty kind of loose and creative and all that sort of stuff. But the bottom line was that little hero of a bottle, that Little Creatures Pale Ale, was God. And you met the brewers and you realized that they freaking took it seriously, So, and coming back to Sydney, and there's two things I really remember, and I'd been around the industry, especially with Fox Sports, but as a young kid growing up in Toohey's in Sydney, and I had a hotelier mate of mine, and he wasn't a really good mate of mine, but I went and saw him, and it happened more than once in 2007, 2008, and I had a young sales team with not a lot of experience that I gained with Creatures, and Chris, I walked into a pub and basically talked to him about Creatures Pale Ale, and he just looked at me and he said, "Man, I got Cooper's Pale Ale, I don't need it." and that was 2007. And that was what you're up against. I remember writing two emails in the first couple of months to the directors. One of them was that New South Wales was a massive lager town full of, gaming pubs, and it was a very big world to change, and small bars were only just starting then. But then the second one was within the first couple of months, Brisbane Food and Wine Fair was on. And I remember going up there and I worked with my two reps up there, Brad Fidge and James Osborne, and doing that. And I remember at the airport about to fly out, and I wrote an email and I got it then. And basically what it was, I always explained to people that at a stand or whatever, at a festival in the early days of it, is you'd have three people, or you'd have two people at your bar. And one of them has never heard of Little Creatures. And the second person had heard of someone in WA, family, friends, whatever, going, "Oh, they've been down to Fremantle and they've talked about all this." And then there'd be that one guy that had run from the other side of the place and would come up here going, this is the best fucking beer you'll ever have. I've been to this place. Yep. And that's what we called our evangelist. Yeah. And you just stood back and watched that bloke sell it to the other two people.
Well, you go to the Fremantle venue and you just come away from that thinking, this is awesome. So well done.
Yep.
So well done.
Yep. Yep. And so Creatures really did educate people about thinking outside, really, because it was really big beer, a little bit, you know, Mountain Goat, them, and not much else, you know. Yeah. So,
yeah. Have you got a memory of an experience that just completely stands out for you from your time as a Creature?
Yeah, I think the people will always like every time we got together. It was just an amazing crew of people. But I think as the whole experience for 5 years, and we were shattered when it was gone. But there's one, and I can't remember if even Mad Dog would have said it, but there's one experience that I remember, and it's how you know how serious the brewers took it. It was Alex Troncoso, who is just a freak and a legend and a great bloke, and I'm lucky enough to have been to Lost and Grounded over in the UK, the head brewer or master brewer, that's whatever
you want. Yeah, I've heard of him, yeah.
Yeah, so he was the man, and he was a bit rough. He had a really strange accent because he's a bit of bits up kind of from different places around the world. But he was an amazing brewer, and he stood there at our sales conference. I think it was in Geelong at the time, and he basically wrote Pale Ale, Creatures Pale Ale, up and wrote it down on the whiteboard as to this is how I make Creatures Pale Ale, and then he wrote Bright Ale next to it. And he basically crossed out all the things he didn't have to do from doing Pale Ale for Bright Ale. And then he goes, look at me. He goes, that's why we get out of bed, to fucking make Pale Ale, sell Pale Ale. And that was his whole line about the love that he put into it. My sales guys went home, and in Sydney especially, they were actually defaulting to selling Bright Ale because it was easier.
Yeah, okay. Oh, wow.
And the next couple of months, you saw it change. You saw people believe. You saw people get involved. And they're young hospo kids, or they're young, you know, it's having hard sales. These guys haven't gone through professional selling schools like Lion or something like that. Yeah. You know, like these guys were just being evangelists. Mm. So when you see Alex so passionate about it, and, you know, Russ, the head, still the head brewer now, and stuff like that, like these guys are so passionate about it, you know. Yep. So it's infectious. And Creatures was infectious.
It's funny, you know, all these years on, and the craft beer game has expanded and that sort of thing. And yep, the big guys have got their five ways for sales and all that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, the thing that is making the smaller breweries just grow and the whole thing explode is that passion. You don't have to be the smartest sales guy around, but if you're passionate about it, you can get someone to believe in what you're selling.
Yep, 100%. And I think I've done this journey. I think you've gone big to big, but like the beer, the small beer world, I said I started in big beer world, and I am here because of big beer world, because I learned structure and I learned all those things. But I freaking love being the underdog.
Yeah, it's
I
cool.
love it.
That's cool.
And I love, because I know how they basically play the game, and you can't change that. But knowing that, you know, you do know that's going to happen. It does come down to passion and flexibility and being nimble and believing that you know you can have the brewer out with you and stuff. It's not big business, you know.
So of the 500 or so breweries in Australia now, how many of them do you reckon have got an ex-Creature either behind the mash paddle, maybe serving at the brewery tap room, or maybe just out there in the sales force getting the can in the hand of the consumer?
Bloody good question, but there'd be a heap. Yeah.
Everybody seems to have a link.
I can look across a lot of breweries and think straight away. And I said, you've got people like Dan Hampton, who's a shareholder and sales director in Young Henry's, and then you've got my two guys in Bolter that came across in Luke Dowling and Dave Myers. And then you go deeper. And I mean, obviously people like Jane Lewis.
Two birds, absolutely.
All of these people have someone, you know, it was like this little incubator for lots of different people that come through the business. And I said, I wouldn't be sitting here where I am now without Richard Sweet giving me a phone call. And he left Creatures, left the business for a while, and then ended up being part of the management team for Four Pints, you know, and he's still involved in Four Pints. So
if we were to pick one person, you know, you play 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. If we were to pick one person in the Aussie beer industry from Creatures to play 6 degrees of X, who would it be?
6 degrees of X. Do you know what? It'd be somewhere between Stumpy, Luke Dowling.
Yeah,
he's done a fair few degrees, and maybe even our little mate Mad Dog. Maybe,
he'd be close, I reckon.
Yeah, he's maybe. Yeah, I think those two would give it a shake.
Yeah, nice. So from Creatures to the Rocks and then Bolter, I have to say, whatever you're up to right now would want to be pretty awesome, because I reckon there are more than a few craft beer sales and marketing people out there that would have killed to have your role at Bolter.
Yep, and I will never ever forget the phone call I got from the Big American, from Sean in the US, one of the founders. Yeah, yep. One day I was standing in the courtyard at Rocks Brewing and wasn't exactly enjoying 100% of what I was doing there. And his name had been tossed across by another ex-creature, actually, and said, you want to speak to this guy? And they flew me up there. And what a lot of people don't know is it was me and one other bloke that I were talking to at the end, and I actually didn't get the role of, straight away.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and it was for some different reasons. The other person was more experienced, but I think – I don't know. You have to ask them. I think from a cultural point of view, I thought I was a pretty good fit. But yeah, I went up into that role, and yeah, it was an amazing 3.5 years, Chris. But I think the one key part in what that all was that I lived in Sydney, and that was on the Gold Coast, and culturally pretty important for their business.
Yep, get
that. So yeah, I think when I look back at that, and even just reflecting doing this with you tonight kind of thing, as I said, I would not change a thing that I did, but I've got quite an involved personal life. I have a 17-year-old that now lives with me full time as a single dad.
Yep.
And a daughter who's 21, and just partners and all that sort of stuff. And that 12-18 months doing Bolter was the best boys adventure I could ever ask for, the best crew I could ever ask for, but
nice.
It was probably to the detriment of some other things in my life.
Oh yeah, okay, fair enough. Yep.
Yeah, and then the other part of all of that what it sat at is that I'm part of this amazing growth, which is a unicorn. It can't, you know, the balance between brand, beer, and the backers in that business is a freak. You know, there's no doubt about it. What they're doing and doing so well is, you know, is amazing, and it's uncopyable in so many ways. But
I like to refer to it as being kissed on the cock by a fairy.
Yep, it's a bloody big fairy. There's no doubt about it. So so I think I probably mid last year. So the first year was amazing, and the next couple of years it grew very quickly. So what ends up being is a big team around them, especially up at the brewery. And I sat there probably working out where I fitted in that structure. I started as the head of sales and distribution, but part of the deal was it was actually at the start of the conversation with Ant and Sean was I wasn't prepared to move to the Gold Coast. So we kind of did a to the next financial year deal and discussed. We both agreed with that because I want to be part of the project. And then they brought a sales director in, and I still loved it. And Pete and I are actually having beers or wines on Thursday night in Adelaide, actually, Pete Wood.
nice.
He's a legend. But it was, as I said, it was my choice that I couldn't move up there. So what happened was a massive business grew very, very quickly, and I was probably removed from that a little bit more. And as I said, they have been amazing right through. But mid last year, I had the opportunity to have a discussion with a couple of guys that I have a lot of respect with. And at the same time, I actually had a couple of approaches from other breweries, big and small. It comes down to a few things, mate. It just comes down to lifestyle, finances, and where I want to be in 10 years because I'm not young anymore. And when an opportunity popped up to actually probably scratch my own bit of earth and do actually build my own path before I am too old for my kids and all that sort of stuff, then I considered it, and it took a long time to consider, to be brutally honest, that Bolter is still a journey that I could have taken like creatures for probably to the end of my time, you know. So
fair enough.
But yeah, you got to take it and not regret.
So you were a bit of a hot free agent then there almost for a while. You must be kind of a big deal with many leather bound books in your study.
Mate, I'm just a
Paul Anchorman reference.
Yeah, I'm genuinely just a street fighter, mate. Then I you go and find the Instagram post I think that Sterl's put up for when I left, and there's all these comments underneath it, and I think they said this is a guy that when we interview people, it's who would you have a beer with? Because I was the second employee after Scotty into the business. And at the end of the day, the last question Sterl's always said was, would you have a beer with him? And the answer was yes, beautifully, and all that sort of stuff. And Scotty goes, you'd have a beer with him, but you won't get a word in edgeways, which is me.
Yeah. Nice.
Thanks, Scotty.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast. In the words of Transvision Vamp, I don't want your money, honey. I want your love. I'm not going to ask for a Patreon donation because that's not really why I do this. I just want you to help me spread the craft beer gospel. Whichever podcast service you use, if you like my interviews, please like, subscribe, follow, rate, and share my podcast with your friends. It all helps to spread the craft beer message throughout the community, and in turn, hopefully can help those of you out there who make a living working in the industry. That's all. I'll let you get back to the podcast. That rolls in nicely to what you're up to now. So, as I said, for the world exclusive, What are you up to?
Yeah, so mid last year, I got approached with they're industry mates of mine, and a guy named Tim Condon, who is a local hotelier in Sydney, has become a bit of a legend in craft beer circles kind of thing. He's loved by the Pirate Life boys. They've led him astray a few times. A few other guys, like he's actually good friends with Ross Juricic and the Stone and Wood guys. So he's been around craft. But the interesting part was, 10 years ago, he had a little pub in Balmain called the Riverview. Upstairs, he had cracking restaurant. He's a very good gastro pub runner, this man, and very good at his food and as a publican. Ironically, he got introduced to craft and creatures by another publican mate of his and didn't know much about it, I suppose, when he came in there. And we actually held a beer event there 10 years ago. And I think it was Ross Juricic starting Stone and Wood, me at Creatures. And I believe, and Adam Tripp Smith was there as well. And I have a feeling, I might get this story wrong and ATS will have a crack, but I think McLaren Vale Brewing Company was part of the dinner as well. But the bottom line is Adam sold his first keg or gave his first keg of McLaren Vale Brewing when he founded McLaren Vale Brewing 10 years ago to Tim at the Riverview because he lived around the corner to trial it. I was his first independent craft, for want of a better word, I suppose, at the Riverview in Balmain. And 10 years on, the three of us sat around a table and said, let's do this for ourselves kind of thing. So ATS, Adam Tripp Smith's he's always got fingers in pies, but he did. He started McLaren Vale Brewing Company and also was the man that behind Kegstar in Australia, which started Keg Rental, and he sold a little bit and then all of it to Brambles, or the sale was done. So last year he became a free agent as well.
Now it's all starting to fall into place.
Yeah, and Tim's the publican. So the three of us make this nice little team of mateships, and May last year I was lucky enough that Tim wanted someone to travel with, so we went to CBC in Nashville last year. Tim and I were like, I just took a break out of Bolter and kind of had some fun over there, and we sat around and did the breweries with Adam Tripp Smith, and that's kind of where it started. And late last year was when we got serious about it, when I actually had some offers and had to work out where I wanted to be. We got serious about it. So we're right in the middle of forming a company, really. So I stopped, I think it's 3 months, I think, now that since I left Bolter. And Bolter was great. Like, Bolter was phenomenal. At Christmas, they spoke to me, and I was very honest with them, and they were very honest with me. So they've been brilliant to them, and I know that I gave my heart and soul for them. And I helped make sure that we filled a few roles for me and bits and pieces, and then moved on. And and at this point in time, so we've got a site, but I can't talk about the site yet because it's still in between lawyers and leases. But we hope to lock that down.
Can you tell us general area?
I like to call it, for your mate Andrew Batch, I like to say it's not around the corner from him, because he made it very clear that he doesn't need another brewery in his neighbourhood.
Fucking brewery.
I like to call it the outer inner west. So
the outer, that's good.
So definitely not near Andrew's two breweries, but not too far out of town. So we're pretty excited about the space. I suppose the key part, the two key parts for me, brand, which we're still locking away, and I think there's a bit of talk out there. Our project is called Project Brew Cult, and at the start it was probably going to be Brew Cult. And just so people know, Adam Tripp Smith actually bought the rights to Brew Cult a few years ago when Hendo was winding it down. And has sat on it for
a
while.
So the rights means all the recipes and all that sort of stuff.
All the IP, basically, And at the start, which there was a little bit of excitement within the group, so they did a trial batch, and Hendo actually came down to Sydney and did that at Rocks Brewing. And Tim's got his own pubs, and we've got a couple of publican mates, we just threw it out there, and I wasn't part of that. I was still at Bolter at the time that Tim and Adam drove that just as an idea. But, it was a discussion with Hendo about what the future looked like. But I suppose for where we sit right now is it's watch this space. We between site and who we think we are as a threesome, we are probably going to go away from Brewcob, but we're actually probably maybe use it down the track for something different. So
Because my question was, when I heard that was being sort of thrown around, I was thinking, why would you go to the Brew Cult Lab? Because it's sort of two or so years on, was it really a strong brand? Like, did you love the brand, or maybe there's still some equity in it, or, that romance about Hendo having been involved? Like, I couldn't quite put my finger on why you would want to stick with that brand instead of starting something fresh and new.
Yeah, and it's an interesting one because the world of what we live in is a bubble. And the world and in my world of selling beer and commerciality is, if my success was on the 1 or 2% of the craft, then I would have a bigger issue. And if we believe that we could have built a brand, or we still believe we can build a brand around something for the wider market, then you know there's two sides to that story. So I think for us it's about who we think we are and what we think we'll do going forward in regards to that brand. And it also comes down to the one thing I am excited about that we've been able to do is to lock in a brewer that starts with us in September.
Cool,
and
nice.
I think there's two things when I walked away from Bolter and with the industry and the people that I know in the industry is I knew that I wanted to be able to ring a Scott Hargrave or Dave Patton, one of my favourite people at Akasha or something, and say that I'm taking the beer seriously. This isn't just about a brand and a bit of fun.
Yes.
And so we've been able to lock away Dennis DeBoer, and some people may know him or may not know him, but he's a guy that was actually the head brewer at Modus.
I did hear about this, I wasn't sure we were allowed to talk. Yes.
So we actually asked the industry, and Adam and I were asking around and we had a few people in mind and we were having a chat with a few people. And Dennis and his partner Jess, who was actually at Pirate Life and then transferred up to be with Dennis, so worked at Four Pines. And she's got a wine background, and Dennis is an amazing young brewer from the US. But he decided to leave Modus, and him and Jess went off and were doing a vintage in New Zealand actually just to do some wine and stuff. So we rang them and we've been in constant contact with them. And the bit of the puzzle was that Tim Condon didn't know who it was and my other business partner. So we flew him over for a weekend and we all got on famously, to be honest with you. And what I want to sell and what we want to do and what he and Jess want to do actually aligned, which is great because, again, sometimes I feel like I'm a bit old. And when a young brewer who I know has credibility and really did some great stuff for Modus, and he went through Oscar Blues, we grew up around Oscar Blues, and he's done some amazing things in his career. So him and Jess are actually coming on board with us. And, Chris, that's a massive part of what I wanted to be. That was probably some sleepless nights in regards to that. So when Adam and Tim and I were able to lock Dennis and Jess in, it's just one less thing I have to not sleep about, to be honest with you.
I got a
video hook up with him tomorrow morning, and I'd catch up with him probably once a week at least. And he's got a whole list of things that he's working on while he's in the US. He's back home and hanging out with the family, but he's helping us put all this stuff together. We've got a brewery on the way and all that. So, to have that brewer that with actually experience, and he is very experienced, is pretty exciting, mate. So,
So let me ask you then. So he's coming on board. He's worked at Modus. He's probably developed some beers there that he'd like to, do something similar at the new place. You got a whole bunch of recipes that came over with the IP from Brew Cult, and there were some ripping beers that Hendo did in that business too. What sort of discussions are you having around that now? Because let's say you had a favourite beer from Brew Cult that you personally wanted to recreate, and as one of the startup guys, you've got a bit of clout, I suppose. What do you talk about in that sort of way? Do you say to him, mate, I reckon you should really do this one, but rest of it's up to you, or are you at that point yet?
No, and I think that's probably as part of the rounding off of the conversation with Brandon and all that sort of stuff is I think as a team, we've sat down and said, who do we want to be? And you're exactly right. The reputation of what Hendo's put together, it reminds me, it's a bit like Doc with Doctor's Orders and things like that. These guys and what they've put together, both weird and just in the pocket, like Reset or Robot and stuff. We know that there's some stuff out there, but as I said, if we've jagged this lovely brewer called Dennis and his Mrs. Jess and they've got these great ideas, this is a team. This is a small team going forward, and it'll be him and I and the balance between the creative and the commercial as to where we sit with some stuff. So him and I, it was really interesting actually. We sat down with a session last week, and part of the whole thing was we talked about it. We'd had a beer over it when they were in Sydney with us, and then Chris, we Dennis and I just sat on a video hookup last week and basically talked through the first four and then what we looked like and the first 12 months and all this sort of stuff. And again, we were amazed how close we were. So,
brilliant.
Yeah, that's one less sleepless night, to be honest with you.
That's great.
You're not creatively massively different to what it is. And I think with any brewer, it's like Scotty back at, making you know, Captain Sensible or something like that. The guy's in the pocket at 5%+ beers, you know. But if he was going to make a mid-strength beer, he was going to make the fucking best mid-strength beer he could and make it with that beautiful, you know, that malt bill that gives it that body and the nice hops, you know, all that sort of stuff. So when Dennis kind of looks at my playlist and then I look at his playlist and we find in the middle and he goes, yeah, I can do that, but I'm going to do it this way. And I'm going, mate, let's just keep talking, you know. And that's
it's
the
really
important part.
I would love to be a fly on the wall in those discussions, because for me it's really interesting sort of right now. You're kind of going one of two ways with the newish brewers. You're either perhaps something like, you know, our mates at Batch, you know, that a new beer every week and really go and experimental with maybe a couple of cores sort of later on down the track. Or you might go something like Filter, where they've just, you know, knocked out, you know, just on the money beers.
Yep.
You know, nothing too wild or too out there. You know, mates up at Felons, Ash Cranston, you know, producing just really well-rounded, nothing too crazy. Like, you know, there's a lot of talk about whether you should follow and try and, you know, do those amazing, weird and wonderful beers, or whether you just, if you put out a really great, solid lineup of beers, which is the best road to success?
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty, again, with the conversations I had with Dennis and Jess, and they're obviously a couple that are both have great brewing background, and so they're now travelling around the US, so boom, you know, that's the best study you could have.
Happy
and
he's
spending some time, because we're still working out 100% what canning line we're going with and stuff like that, so he's, you know, he's like spending time in breweries and doing road trips and stuff like that, so he's going to come back with even more ideas, and he's already got supplier contacts, etc. But I think the beauty in what that is if I want a 7.5% IPA and he wants a 6% IPA, somewhere in the middle there is, it's not actually about the alcohol, it's about what we're looking for in that beer. And, when you go to the US, which I did a couple of weeks in the US again this year, all you go is you go looking for a fucking beer under 4% because they're just all big.
And like
when you've been drinking around the US, and especially at CBC and with all the boys and all that sort of stuff, so you end up going to sours and you end up going on. I just said, Dennis, mate, let's get the first 4 or 6 months out of the way, and we're building a big enough brewery that you can play around with that stuff, and we're going to have the tap room, which is, you know, the thing about Tim Condon, our the business partner, being involved, is we want to have some serious hospitality as part of who we are, and that's an important part. And you mentioned it before, like between what the boys have done at Stomping Ground and you know, Felons, and like that, Felons is amazing. I was up there the other week again; it's just incredible. So, all of those things have to build together, so you have an even bigger conversation about what beers you're putting out for people that are walking straight in the brewery, which, like you said, Batch, every week can go in and try a new beer, you know. So
yeah,
that's a big part of it,
You mentioned that you're sleeping a lot better and that sort of thing, but like at the moment, competition is pretty high in the industry, and you're entering into the outer inner west where competition is also pretty high.
Yep.
Are you worried that maybe you've sort of come a little bit too late to the scene, or you know, really such a strong believer in your business model and what you're planning to do that you're going to be okay?
I think it has to be a balance, Chris, between reality and commerciality and experience. And I think the three people that are starting this business, and now you add Dennis into the mix,
this isn't your first rodeo.
No, he's been trained quite well. And somewhere in there, I've been lucky enough to be part of some successful business, and I kind of hope I – might have contributed to some of that kind of thing. And then I said, Adam, as a business starter and what he's got from a commercial brain point of view and an accountant background and all that, and then Tim from a hospitality point of view, like, as I said, I think for us, we're very realistic about what's out there in a market, but we're also not, you know, we're not shooting for stars in the first 3 weeks. We understand all that. But it fascinates me that I've been around this business and been lucky enough to be in some big businesses and small businesses in the craft beer space. And it fascinates me when you turn up to the conferences and you turn up to that and you watch the mum and dads. And I have this conversation with other industry friends around what it is. And the hardest thing, you know, I think I heard Matt Kirkegaard say it on news the other day, is big breweries have HR departments, they have marketing departments, they have all that sort of stuff. Little breweries don't, and a lot of them are mum and dad breweries, or a lot of them are two mates. Andrew and Chris at Batch are a great example. They've actually come from good experience, marketing and smart guys and all those sort of things, where a lot of times it's great home brewers that turn themselves into commercial brewers, or and their business partner's an accountant, but they've never had sales and marketing, or that perfect world together is a really, really hard part to get. So, but we are realistic in what we're doing, and we also understand that touch point of having a brewery and a hospitality part of that brewery is a very important part of that. So I think if we stay realistic and stay humble in what we want to do, and then you look after your 5K around you, then if you get your brand right, then Chris, your success will come. And consistency. You got to prove that you're going to make consistent.
Oh, yeah, effort. Absolutely. So, yeah. So for the beer nerds out there that love to hear about the stainless, what sort of size kit are you going to be putting in?
So we've actually got a Premier coming, and it's an 18 barrel. So big enough. But I think some people say you're going to regret that it's not big enough, and some people say, oh, it's decent size. So it's an interesting one. Ask me in 2 years what decision we made.
Yeah.
And also, the old Australian dollar's not going awesome at the moment. So,
no, it's not. It's not. Yeah.
Can you bring it?
I was just doing the sums. I was just doing the sums tonight whether I was going to get a pair of new Nike Air Max while I'm over in Vegas, and I don't think it's going to be worth my while now.
No.
Bloody exchange rate.
Yeah.
No good.
Yeah. So it's all those things you have to deal with right now. But we're pretty excited. We've got a good relationship with the Premier guys at now, and it's Dennis being in the US. So we've got a decent kind of brew house coming. I think Dennis is pretty impressed with the bits and pieces that he's being handed with in regards to a brew house. And the good thing is we'd started something, but he's now running with it in regards to that. So, I mean, hopefully in a few months' time when he's in town or something like that, he's a good man to have a chat with, Chris.
Absolutely.
You'll definitely get an invite to the first beer being cracked, my friend. Yeah.
When do you reckon you might have your first beers being poured? Is it like November, Christmas or something?
Yeah, so if the world came together in a beautiful way, and it's funny, I started with with Bolter, thinking that by the end of the year, if not January, we're going to be in market, and I think it was not till March that we got
anywhere. I was actually chatting to Bede the other night, and he said, March 2016, I think it was.
Yep.
Is that right?
March 16. I think the 16th of March was around, March 16 was the launch. Yeah, so that was a big 6 months, So, so I think for us, if the world came together beautifully, Dennis could be making his first beer at the end of October. But it's probably going to drag into the fact that we'll probably have a single beer out. And again, we're lucky enough that we've got a hotelier as part of our business, so we can play around with bits and pieces. And I've got a good network of hoteliers in Sydney and around the country, so we're not super, concerned about just trialing some beers while we get our hospitality right. And it's like everybody's thing. It's council. It's all those bits and pieces. But we're going in the way that's the easiest way to get a production brewery up, and then building on hospitality and stuff around it. So. Yeah.
Cool. Sounds bloody exciting times, mate.
It is. It's very exciting times. And as I said, I'm part-time working for Riot Wine Co. I've got to get a plug in for those guys. They're brilliant. And that came around because Adam Tripp-Smith's actually one of the founders and partners in that. So it's interesting.
Oh, nice.
There's some few beer personalities or investors in this business. And I'm on Thursday night, I go down and they're opening the cannery, which is like the wine equivalent in Adelaide of a nice little cellar door in Adelaide suburbs. So
beautiful.
They're just all about sustainability, but their actual wines are phenomenal. So I'm enjoying working part-time with those guys and helping those guys out as well at the moment. So,
Good stuff. Well, mate, when Dave told me to have a chat with you, he did say you love to have a chat, and that last 30-odd minutes has just flown by.
Flown past.
And I like to try and keep him to around the 30, so we might have to flick over and head on into the Fast Five, if you don't mind.
Yeah, too easy.
You up for this?
Yep.
All right. Tim Fishwick, your time starts now. Has beer ever led you astray, and can you tell me about it?
1,000 times, and if it's after 8 at night, my two children are testament to me coming home drunk.
Excellent. Who's the most famous person you've ever shared a beer with?
I worked for Bolter for a while, and there was a couple of blokes there that were world champions. But I've got to be honest with you, being a father of kids of a different era, I met the Purple Wiggle, Jeff, and I also met Charlie from High Five, both at Bolter, and that was the, you know, I rang my kids and went, you know, because Charlie from High Five, I was more than happy to watch High Five back when my daughter was
born. Yeah, I was just thinking, I think I know who you'd rather be hanging out with out of those two, but anyway.
No, both good people, but Charlie was lovely still. Yeah, she got a bit older, but she was lovely. Yeah.
We move on before we get in trouble. What has beer done for you that nothing else has in your life?
It's literally given me my, it's my social life, it's my every life, and it's all my mates. So I think it's given me so many opportunities, Chris. Like that's endless what it's given me. Yeah.
Awesome. What's the best beer experience you've ever enjoyed?
That's a bloody good question. I've had a good life. I reckon the first beers with the boys at Bolter, when we had a little thing at SpotX, the first weekend we launched the SpotX, and the beer wasn't perfect. It hadn't filtered right out or whatever. Came out of the pilot system, and Scotty was, but we had the best Sunday afternoon on the drink, and those beers were sensational.
Where did you say that was at? SpotX?
A little place called SpotX on Coolangatta, which is the back of the Coolangatta Hotel. I always get this wrong. One of the pubs. We took over the laneway there and just asked people to come along, and we were brand new. But it was in the middle of the comp. So Sunday afternoon, we went ballistic, and Bede was asked Bedo again. He was on his crutches. He shouldn't have been dancing, but he was
still then.
Hard.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
No good. Right. And what's the most important thing you've learnt in your craft beer journey?
I think, I'm not a brewer, I'm a salesperson, and that is to build a good team around you and be part of the team, don't be in front of the team. So I love being part of the team. Yep, love it.
Something infectious about that, I reckon.
Yep, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, question number six is usually, can you help me get Chris Hemsworth on this podcast? But after speaking with Bede last week, I'm putting all my money over on him to get Chris on.
Mate, between Chris, Mick and Parko, someone must be able to get him. Bloody hell.
I'm thinking so, and all I want to do is try to help him out and build the craft beer industry, but I don't know. Bede was a bit non-committal, but he's mates, he said, so I think we can make it happen. If I keep fucking talking about it, surely it's going to happen at some stage.
You are dead set not going to like this, right? I was tired. It was the end of the flight. I'd flown in cattle class, and Adam Tripp-Smith was up a little bit further at the front of the plane than the US this year, and we stood there and got bags with Chris Hemsworth at LA Airport. Should have asked him, mate. Sorry.
Yeah. He was in Hobart recently for the Cape Fear Red Bull event, and I got a whole heap of messages from some of the Facebook followers saying, oh, is he coming to see you? No, he's fucking not.
Right. But he's blocked you.
He's not answering my calls. Well, mate, it's been a great chat with you tonight. It was great to finally meet you because I'd heard so much about you after all these years. So, mate, whatever it looks like and wherever you are, whatever you're doing with the new brewery, I wish you all the best for it, and I'll have to swing by at some stage, head out to the outer inner west and check it out.
Beautiful.
And, make sure you get on Dave's Brewery Tour's new tour of the inner west / outer west, inner west as well.
Oh, so many. So many breweries. Yeah.
Great stuff. All right, mate. It's been a joy to talk with you. Cheers to great beers.
Thanks a lot for that. Cheers. Bye.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for tuning in to another Beer Healer interview. I really hope you guys enjoyed the episode as much as I did. If you want to follow along with more Beer Healer content, you can check out my Facebook, YouTube and Instagram pages. Just search Beer Healer, or you can visit beerhealer.com. If you like the podcast, can you please help me spread the word by subscribing and rating it and sharing it with your beer-loving friends?